Instead of reading the scripture, let me incorporate it into my message this morning, if you will. Because actually, it's more than just one scripture. You know, when I was coming up with what I might preach this day, and looking through the scriptures suggested by the lectionary, and in the season following Pentecost, there are more than just the usual four that are suggested, two from the New Testament and two from the Old. There are actually six, four from the Old Testament, two of which relate to the New, and two which kind of take a journey through the Old Testament of their own. Well, as I was looking at these scriptures, you know, the first thought of a title that came to mind was this: Men Behaving Badly. What a title for a sermon on Father's Day, right? But I got to tell you, those are the stories that I had received. Let me just briefly tell you which ones they were. The two from the Old Testament. The first was of King David. It was kind of the tail end of a long story of David in the middle of his life going through what we often call a midlife crisis. And in this story, David committed an indiscretion, if you will, had an affair with a woman named Bathsheba, and then sought to cover it up. And the further he sought to cover it up, the more it got uncovered. If you know the story, it eventually led to the death of this woman's husband. And then in the scripture that was suggested for this day, there was a visit from a certain prophet by the name of Nathan, who came and told David a story. And David loves stories. And it was a story of two men. One, not terribly well off. In fact, he only had one baby lamb. But he loved that lamb, so it was probably closer to being like a pet. And the other man, well, he had a nice big flock. And this other man, who was more well off, had a visitor, a guest. And in that time and day, you treated guests with special, you know, with hospitality that went beyond the normal. But this man did not want to take any of his own sheep for a meal that was expected. And so he took the little baby lamb, the only real possession of this other poorer man, and he took it, and he killed it, and he served it as an act of hospitality. David, when he heard this story, and it's sort of like some of the stories of Jesus, which sort of have a kind of a kick to them, David immediately responded, "That man should die!" And of course, you know perhaps what Nathan the prophet did after that. He kind of took his finger out and pointed at David and said, "You know, you're that man. For you saw what you wanted and you took what you saw." David, a man behaving badly. But to his credit, David saw what he had done. And he turned and he repented. And to his credit, you know, this is that part of David that is lifted up in Scripture. His self-awareness, his ability to see his wrong and to turn from it, that is so much appreciated in Scripture. That was the first Bible story of men behaving badly. Now the other one was of a descendant of David by the name of King of Ahab. And he was king also. And in this particular story, it involved a neighbor. And it wasn't a story told, it was a story lived. A neighbor of Ahab who had a vineyard right next door. And Ahab wanted to expand his property and have a garden. And the prime spot for that was right next door in his neighbor Naboth's vineyard. So he said, "I'll go up." And he went over to Naboth and he said to Naboth, you know, to his credit, he asked first. He said, "I'll tell you what, if you give me the vineyard, I will give you another vineyard somewhere else." And Naboth said, "Well, now wait a minute, this vineyard has been in my family for many generations. You know, it takes a while, you know, like asparagus, you don't get asparagus the first year. You know, a vineyard takes a while to develop." And of course, Ahab was not terribly thrilled by this answer, and he came home to his wife. You can imagine all those marks above his head. And his wife responded, "Well, are you not the king?" "Yeah." Man behaving badly. Woman behaving badly. It's not just men who behave badly. And so his wife took the reins and she made it happen. And it involved the death of somebody. People behaving badly. And so we come to the gospel story this morning, which is a marvelous tale of, yes, a woman behaving badly. But in the story as we have received it, there's a difference. In fact, let me read to you the story, and then we'll jump into it a little bit. One of the Pharisees, and this is in chapter 7 of Luke's gospel, asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. Now, let's pause just for a moment and set the scene a little bit. Remembering that in that day and age, they weren't big into chairs, but more into cushions. So you had a kind of a low-lying table down here. I don't know whether it was square or round, doesn't matter. And then you would sit on a cushion and kind of lean onto the table with your feet extended out. You got the scene? Okay, so all these men, and they were probably men sitting around the table, if you will, or inclined against the table. A woman in the city who was a sinner. You know, that's all it says about her. Sermons have been preached that really went to town describing all those sins. But, you know, all it says was that she was a sinner. Having learned that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. I know that one's not white, it's crystal, but you know, we have that on the worship center. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Now, I know that that's not tears and hair up there. That's a basin and a towel. And we know a bit about feet washing, do we not? Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "Now, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, and that she is a sinner." Remember, he was just thinking this stuff. Now here he is, his host. You know, is he questioning his guest? Yes. Is he, you know, to his credit, is he trying to protect the reputation of his guest? Well, I don't know. Maybe. How is he behaving, though? Is he behaving badly? Or is this just to be expected? I mean, after all, and please understand the culture of that day, and even in this culture, this seems a little bit iffy, but remember, I mean, we get a glimpse of this as we look into other cultures, especially those cultures where they still wear, the women wear the hijabs and everything to cover up everything. Did I pronounce that right? Hijab? No. Hijab. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. But this woman went far, far beyond our understanding of what's right and proper. And she touched. Now we know that touch can be problematic, even in this day and age. One of the blessings, I believe, of anointing is the touch that we do. But it is helpful touch. It is not harmful touch. Now, there are many ways we can harmfully touch another person. This may have to do with our sexuality, but it may also have to do with our healing. You know, think of those in nursing homes and other places who, you know, everybody is in control of their life. They're coming in and touching and changing and, you know, doing things that I don't really want to have done, but I guess they need to be done. And that sense of touch that is not necessarily wanted. Touch can be problematic, but it also can be good. And in this case, the woman is anointing Jesus, not just with the oil from that alabaster jar, but with her tears. And she is kissing his feet. You know, that in and of itself for some of us is kind of overstepping a boundary, isn't it? Okay, let's continue with the story and the Pharisee who is just wondering about Jesus and why he is allowing this to happen. Well, it says here that Jesus spoke up and said to him, Simon, that's his name, the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Teacher, Simon said, speak. And then he told a story. You know, these Bible stories, these parables, they so often have a kick, don't they? Anyways, in this story, Jesus says, a certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they both could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? You got the story? And Simon answered, well, you know, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Okay, now comes the kick. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. Now remember I talked about the hospitality that was expected. That was a big thing back in that day and age. And perhaps it should be more of a big thing in our day and age. But in that dry and dusty land, water to wash feet was very important. I said, you didn't give me any. But she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. And again, that was a practice as well. You know, some cultures, and this is one of those cultures where, you know, even today in the Middle East, men hold hands when they walk. In this day and age, okay, how many men hold hands when you walk? Well, maybe with your son when they're younger. But not with men, and you know, certainly we're kind of a low-touch society. But she gave me a kiss. From the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. But you did not anoint my head with oil. But she has anointed my feet with ointment. Men behaving badly? He has broken, you know, the law, and it was kind of a law of hospitality there. And why? And then, you know, just kind of go, I would think it'd be more like a, oh, yeah, type of experience. I didn't. And then he goes on saying, therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. And we need to come back to that one. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. You know, those people who were at the table were just going, what? What is going on? You know, who is this who even forgives sins? And then Jesus said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is a somewhat startling story that actually moves beyond behaving badly toward living gladly. Now, I know that we're not bad behavior folks. You know, the fact that you're here on a Sunday says a great deal about who you are. And I imagine that like me, you have your times when you stumble and that when you do behave badly, yes. But we all desire, we are here because we want to have glad hearts. We want lives that are filled with joy instead of sorrow, life rather than death. And so I extend an invitation to you, and especially to you who are fathers. And this is where I'm coming back, moving away from men behaving badly to men living gladly, and invite you to step into your relationships, men, with all that you've got. I mean, we have sons and daughters. We have grandchildren. We have all sorts of people around us that if only we could just step into their lives a little bit and with some sort of helpful touch, and that touch may not be actual skin to skin, but it may be eye to eye and ear to mouth and fully being with another person. You know, I long as a father to step into that place called grandfatherhood, where I can again have the opportunity to get down on the level of children and to welcome them into my lap and to just simply be with them and enjoy them as the precious gifts that they are. Right? Isn't that what we long for? Well, I invite you to step into that with anyone around you. You know, what keeps us from doing that with others? I mean, not drawing them onto our laps, no, but to just fully be with another person for the sheer gladness of connecting. That's a gift, is it not? No, we don't have to have an alabaster jar of ointment. We don't have to have a foot washing thing. I mean, when we wash feet during our love feast, we know that we aren't supposed to go out into the world and literally wash people's feet all the time. But, you know, that's sort of a symbol for us of how to live our lives. You know, it may involve getting down on knees. It may involve getting onto different people's level, not, you know, kind of thinking ourselves way up here and they down here and getting down to their level, but stepping into similar ground and just simply being with them. For isn't that what God has done with us in Jesus Christ? God sent His Son. Father sending His Son, a bit of Himself, to simply come and be on our level. And to dwell with us, and to share with us, and to walk with us and show us the way of the kingdom. That's how it happens. And that's how we live gladly in Him. For whenever we do this, whenever we sort of do what this woman of the night did, we are stepping into that gospel territory. And we are following Jesus. Let's live gladly.